forget something?
No, I didn't forget anything. Welcome to the LifeCast.
That's good.
Host died. I am new.
Yeah,
host.
I'm dying. So I'm probably not going to talk much this podcast. It's going to be a lot like last week, which I enjoyed a lot.
Comes back dying.
I'm Deanna. Here we got. Shit. Okay. We got Pat.
Hi.
Greg.
Yo.
And Dan.
Hi.
Well, Dan, let's get this out of the way. Last week we skipped the podcast for a concert.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great.
It was great.
That's it. Continue amongst yourselves.
Hey, what was the concert?
It was Medeon and Porter Robinson.
Yeah.
I bought tickets because Danger was opening, and then I didn't realize that, oh shit, Medeon's actually a really good artist that I enjoy. And I hadn't heard of Porter before, but oh my god, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm glad I went.
It was really good.
Lit.
Lit. It was really lit.
Very lit.
There were a lot of lights. I want that light set up.
I got a headache.
So cool.
Yeah, my Snapchat story was 15 minutes long.
And flashy.
Poor Pat.
Epilepsy.
Hey, no one made you watch it.
It's 15 minutes, though.
15 minutes, though.
The music was good, though.
The music was really good. Mm. Medeon and Porter Robinson make such a good pair.
They do.
Also, I didn't know this, but Medeon does the vocals on Shelter.
Yeah. I didn't know it until he started singing at the show.
He started singing it, and I was like, wait a minute. No, he's just doing this for, like, the show. And then I looked it up later, and it was like, no, he actually does the vocals.
That sounds awfully similar to the track I listened to at my house.
Which one?
No, I mean his singing.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Anyways.
Anyway, concert was real nice.
Yeah.
It was my first concert, actually, if you don't count Smash Mouth.
Yeah, if you don't count Smash Mouth.
You have to count Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth was a pseudo concert because we went for free and it was in fucking Boston Common.
I mean, yeah, I understand. I understand why you wouldn't want Smash Mouth to be your first concert, but you gotta accept it. You know, sometimes we all make bad decisions and we gotta live with them. Accept who you are. You are a Smash Mouth fan.
I'm not a Smash Mouth fan.
Say it.
No. I'm ugly and I'm proud.
There once was an ugly barnacle.
All right. I think I've talked enough for one podcast. My voice is already gone.
Oh, boy. I want to add one other thing about the concert that I thought was, like, really cute, and that is that Medeon just, like, almost never talked, and when he did talk, you could tell that his accent was, like, really coming through, and that's probably why he wasn't talking, and it was the cutest shit.
Medeon's adorable. I have low-key had a crush on him since I found out about his music. He's, like, a month younger than I am, actually. Because, I don't know. When I am a fan of things, I like to find out how old they are, especially if they're people.
It's really off-putting for me because, like, you know, I mostly go to metal shows.
Yeah.
So the majority of the time, I'm watching these, like, 40-year-old men, like, running around on stage.
Yeah.
So seeing someone who's, like, around my age and, like, skinny as shit, like, it's weird. It's off-putting.
And then there's, like, the, oh, shit. The other day, I got paid, like, $2 for working.
Yeah.
And then here's this motherfucker performing concerts around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So what do you guys have to say? What do you guys say? What has been the highlight of your week?
Well, for the vast majority of people in the club, not necessarily in...
Oh, it doesn't have to be gaming
right
related.
Now. Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay.
That has been the release of Pokemon Sun and Moon.
I think... I would be one of the exceptions to that.
But, so Pokemon Sun and Moon came out, and, I mean, you've been on the internet, so you probably already know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal for a lot of people really enjoying it, myself included.
Yeah, and it's a great game.
It's, like, actually good. Like, and, like, for the longest time, like, Pokemon games have been... they've been. It's like Pokemon games are bad games that fulfill a certain fantasy that no other game can. That's sort of why they're able to succeed and why everyone loves it so much. Because there is another game that fulfills that same feeling that Pokemon does, and so they've been cruising on that ever since, like the first and the second one. Like Gold and Silver, I think, is a worthy sequel, and I really do like Ruby and Sapphire, but like. like they literally have been doing the same thing literally up until this game. This is the first time that they've actually taken steps to switch up the formula and not just doing the same thing out of, oh, that's what Pokemon is. No, Pokemon is more than just, oh, defeat 8 dudes and then fight 4 more dudes. Like, you could do so much more, and they're finally doing that. Like, I fucking love the Totem Pokemon. So
yeah, I think the Totem Pokemon are great.
It's the best thing that they've ever done in a Pokemon game. So, like, every Totem Pokemon, it effectively switches your gyms to these, like, you do, like, a trial, and then you fight a Totem Pokemon. The trials are, like, silly mini-games / puzzles. It really, it varies depending on the story and the setting type thing. And then you fight this, effectively, a boss fight. And your boy loves boss fights. If you don't know, but it's so much more like a boss fight, which I didn't think would matter in like a Pokemon game until I actually played it. It's really good because you have to, you don't really have to. That's always the strange part, because like for me, the way I'm playing through the game is I'm kind of intentionally gimping myself a little bit, not too much, but with pretty much what I do is I have EXP share off, and I don't kill wild Pokemon. I get EXP only through battling, fighting the Totem Pokemon, and catching Pokemon, because you get EXP from catching. That's pretty much where all my EXP comes from. And what this means is that I'm around the level of the Totem Pokemon when they're fighting them. Like, my best dude in the party will probably be at the Totem Pokemon's level, and the rest of my party will be weaker. And what that means is that they're hard as hell. And so I have to, like, actually strategize. I don't know where that word came from, but I've been using it for too long.
Strategize.
Oh. Yeah, I heard it somewhere. I think it was from like some anime. Anyways, when I used to do that. But like for example, I'm fighting this one, I won't get into too specifics, but it's this Pokemon, and they have effectively Solar Beam, but it's a fucking physical version now. What? And it just kind of like it pretty much is just physical Solar Beam. So the cool thing about this is that the Totem Pokemon also summon little buddies to help them out in the fight. And so what the little buddy does in this fight is that he casts Sunny Day, which allows you to use Solar Blade in one turn. And so you kind of have to, like, you have to, like, manage all these things. You have to make sure you're always dealing damage to the Totem Pokemon and making sure to deal with their little buddies before they do something, because they usually kind of support the big dude. Sometimes they're just kind of, like, they're just more Pokemon for you to hit. But, like, sometimes they'll do what this in this case, and they support the main dude. And so I was particularly underleveled for this one, and I actually ended up losing the first time. But the cool thing was I had to actively think about what I was going to do. I'm like, okay, this guy is a physical attacker. So I used my Growlithe, who has Intimidate, to come out and lower the attack. And then I would continually switch out into my Snorlax, who could take a hit, but not too many hits. So I'm like on the clock. I'm like, I can only switch out my Snorlax so many times before he dies, and I keep throwing out my Growlithe to weaken the boss. And I was also, I used my Mudbray at the time, and he would use Bulldoze to slow the boss down. So I'm like doing all these things, and the boss has the ability to heal as well, so that's why he's not just dying when I'm hitting him. So he has the ability to heal, and he heals for more when the sun's out, so you know. And you're managing all these things, and I ended up just having like a genuinely interesting boss fight in a Pokemon game, which is something that you've never done before. It's just every game, it's just you get to the dude and it's like, oh wait, that boss was a bit higher level than I was expecting. Like, barring Miltank, you don't lose. It's because Miltank's cheating. She's just cheating. You can't have healing. You can't do 1,000 damage and be tanky as hell, Miltank, you fucking piece of shit.
Miltank isn't that hard.
Yeah, if you like, if you know what's coming and you prepare yourself, you can just body her. But like,
actually, if you just catch a Geodude,
yeah, if you just catch a Geodude,
if you just catch a Geodude early in the game, you're fine.
Yeah, but it's like the only time for me and a lot of people where we actually lost to a gym like that. Yeah. Pretty much never happens. You just do it and then you just keep moving. It's like it's not even a roadblock. It's nothing. It just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, even with like I'm running through XP share on getting XP with whatever I can. After a while, I just tend to run from wild battles just because I don't want to deal with them after a while.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
So like I think I'm getting the same XP from wild battles as you are.
Yeah.
But even with XP share on and the levels being even and all that stuff, the totem battles are still like really interesting.
Yeah.
Like I just finished the second trial with the. What's its name?
of
wishy-washy.
Oh, the water wishy-washy. Lady. Yeah.
And I know it's not that's not the totem Pokemon, but it was still like a pretty like interesting fight. Just because
I think wishy-washy was a totem.
Was it? No, it was. Oh yeah, that's right. It was a totem, but it wasn't the big totem. Because there are like three trials in the second island. But yeah, and it was like really interesting because like I was doing significant damage to it.
Yeah.
But like it was one-shotting a lot of my Pokemon with not very effective attacks. And that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that dude has like the most absurd stats.
Yeah. And it was like really cool. But then I just unknowingly stalled and it left schooling form and I just fucking bodied it. But outside of that, it was a really interesting fight.
Yeah, like, and that's something you could never say before. Interesting fight. That is another. I hope this trend continues. I hope, like, because, like, the other cool thing about this game is that it seems to be a bit more story-driven, which has its upside and downside. I think they do a bit too much cutscenes. They could try to do the less is more approach, which is obviously my preference. But it's like there's just a bit too many cutscenes, but it does look like it's building towards something. Yes. Like, this game has an actual story and not like, hey, we've had this established franchise. You beat the gym leaders, and then you beat the Elite Four, and that's just what you do, kid.
Like, I feel like I've like kind of seen this build up since Gen 5. Because, like, you know, Gen 5 brought in the idea of Pokemon can have, like, in-depth storytelling.
Yeah.
And then Gen 6 just kind of started streamlining everything and just making it genuinely better.
Yeah.
And both of those games tried mixing it up in certain ways. Gen 5 was the first Pokemon game we had in a long time where the Pokedex was completely new, and that was super refreshing.
I loved that. Yeah. Like, it was weird because, like, I didn't play those games when they came out, but I heard bad things about Black and White. And so I was just going back, and I played through Black and White, and I was like, this feels so cool.
They're fantastic. And, like, one of the things that really, like, struck me with Gen 5 was that was also the game that started the no third extra color game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was Black and White 2. It was a direct continuation of the story. They were saying with Black and White 2 that they're going to be mixing up the formula. And then, again, with Gen 6, they pulled back on the story, but still kept it a little more narrative-based than usual, and they added all of this cool shit. And then, in Gen 7, you just see the two kind of, like, molding together.
Yeah. He's got, like, the sort of, like, more direct story from 5, and that sort of, like Lori type of feel from the 6 months. Like,
yeah.
Cause like in Gen 6, it was like, oh, who gives a shit? But like, you could see in the background, it's like, oh, like shit happened like a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like this game, like they learned from both of those and is now actually crafting a genuinely interesting story, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird game. It's like, that's just why I feel confident in saying Pokemon Sun and Moon is a good video game by itself, even without the legacy of Pokemon.
My only big complaint right now is it doesn't seem a lot of the characters are that memorable.
Besides Kukui,
who is best professor.
He's got his titties out all the time.
All the time.
He also, I had recently, like right before coming up here to do the podcast, got to the point in the Battle Royale where he was dressed up as a professional wrestler and started doing a Randy Savage impression.
We don't know if that's him. That's, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't know.
But yeah, he's
Kukui, cool. Best girl.
Most of the people aren't too interesting. Yeah. I
remember the Kahuna from the first island because he's like the dude.
He's grandpa. He's just Tito from fucking Rocket Power.
And then I remember Olivia because trailers and thick.
Yeah, because she's. But the other funny thing, like, there's just a lot of references to her being single for some reason. Like, I just, like, noticed it, like, just spread through. I was like, yeah, she's single. And then, like, you went up into her room, and it was like a stuffed Pokemon. It was like a stuffed Pokemon doll. It says, perfect for single ladies. And I was just like, why are there so many things referencing that she's single? Like, did something happen? Like, I don't know. It was really weird. Yeah, but other than that.
Isn't she, like, 10?
Olivia?
No.
Olivia is grown.
Yeah.
We just said thick. You don't get thick. No.
You don't get thick at 10.
Shit.
Hopefully.
No!
That depends on who you ask. Kagome is like a fucking 12-year-old girl who looks
We're stopping!
No, it's just, I went my whole life thinking Kagome was a grown-ass woman. And then And then I was like, wait, is she going to school? I was like, I'm going to middle school. I'm like, you fucking what? I was like, oh, my whole life's a lie. Anyways.
Anywho.
So, yeah. I have not played much of Pokemon Moon. I bought Moon. But I like Gen 6. And then I played the ORS remakes. The Ruby Sapphire remakes. I did not like them. Well, that was the Hoenn remake,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are Hoenn.
Why do people like them?
I mean, you played the remake. It's not the same thing.
I know, but like...
It's because Hoenn is just way more interesting than Gen 6, in my opinion. Like, barring the fashion thing, which is a cool thing about, like it takes you more memorable places. It was the first game where there would seem to be actual
stakes. So it has, like, that nostalgia thing?
No, it's... Not it's even, no? I think Gen 3 is better than Gen 6. I don't think Gen 6 was that good.
Gen 6 was my first actual Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing with Gen 3 that, like, really struck me when I played it, like, back in the day, was it was the first Pokemon game to really, like, have the creatures live in, like, their own, like, particular biomes.
Oh, okay.
It was the first one to really incorporate, like, the environment into the game.
Okay.
And on top of that, it also introduced a lot of the features you see today. It introduced natures. It introduced double battles.
Abilities, right? Or was that Gen 2?
It introduced abilities, too. Yeah.
Okay. I retract my statement. And that fucking music.
Like, Hoenn's music is absurd. It's so good.
All the trumpets.
Yeah. So
like, the too much water complaint is, like, an actually legitimate complaint about Hoenn, though. Like, I'll openly admit that. There's way too much surfing. There's way too much diving. Yeah. But...
Yep.
I feel that the places you get to in between are worth the spamming of repels and hating Wingull.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it, like... Sure, it kind of sucks. Like, the water definitely sucks, but it is cool to, like, actually have it. Oh, like, okay, this region just has a fuckload of water in it. Like, that's just how it is, you know? In other games, it's like, yeah, you just kind of walk the whole time, and then, like, there's some rivers, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I played Gen 6, and I was like, oh, this is fine. And I think you mentioned that it was, like, in that streamlining of story.
Yeah.
And then going to Hoenn, and it was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and then coming back to Sun and Moon, it's like, I don't want more of that because Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire was the last game I played. So I think in my mind, I don't want to continue Moon because I think it's going to be more of the same of Sapphire.
Interesting.
I need to be in the right mindset to get past that. And I fully admit that. So I'll probably get around to it eventually.
I never played the remakes, so I don't know, like, if they were held up or if they were good or anything like that. Like,
they were good.
Yeah.
I would say that I still prefer the GBA versions. Like, not even just out of nostalgia, but just, like, it's really hard to beat Pokemon Emerald.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to, like, beat Emerald. Like, it's got so much more.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool that you can fly around on a Latios, and it's cool that you can encounter more legendary Pokemon, but that's, like, the only post-game Oris has, as opposed to Emerald, which had basically an entirely new region in the form of the Battle Frontier, which needs to come back.
Yes, please and thank you. My other problem with, like, I never played Oris, but, like, my favorite thing about Gen 3 was the music, so I listened to, like, pretty much the entire OST, and I was... Not completely disappointed because Wally theme is fucking amazing. But, like, lots of it, like, it has that like streamlined feel. Like,
yeah,
it sounds less disgusting, less fat.
Disgusting.
It's more like it's more just like, I don't know. It seems just like
it sounds
clean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like. Yeah, it's too clean.
Yeah, it's just like
that's
it's just
exactly how
like because it fits like more thematically with like the way like Pokemon looks like every like all the characters are like oh we're all high fashion like everybody's like beautiful as shit now like I'm just going through Sun and Moon like you're gorgeous you're gorgeous you're gorgeous you're gorgeous you're gorgeous you're also gorgeous and I'm just like and like all the like the designs are getting more sleek and streamlined all the clothes are streak and slimlined and I'm just like and the music felt the same way it didn't sound. Barring Wally's theme, it didn't sound as hype as I remember.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't. Like part of the reason that I, and this is just like in general, like not just for like Pokemon, but just like music in general, is I prefer a messier sound. Like, Woo. You can get a very clean sound doesn't work for a lot of genres, really, in my opinion. Like, it works for, like, electronic because, you know, what the fuck else is the sound going to be?
Yeah. You know?
But anything with, like, actual, like, physical instrumentation, I feel like it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Like it's just, like, this represents me in general. I love, like, seeing the person in, like, the music and everything. Like, like even when I, like, for example, fighting games. I like fighting games where the player can express themselves in their playstyle more. I don't like Marvel because it's like you can only have one playstyle, and that is winning.
Yeah,
like there is no like this is how Mango plays. This is how Mewtwo King plays. It's like it's just like that.
It's like this is how this specific team plays.
Yeah, it's like
and that's what it is.
Yeah,
but that's what happens when you have a game with a community that basically literally developed the point to the game where it cannot be developed anymore.
I haven't playing much besides Pokemon, but
same
in the, like, I didn't get to talk about all the games I want to talk about last week. So I'll go into that. So I got a
shut up, it's my podcast, Pat. Stop blowing out my microphones. Stop that. I'll turn yours down right now.
So I've been playing Dragon Quest Builders. So Dragon Quest Builders is pretty much just, it's Minecraft.
Stop dying.
I'm really trying over here, okay?
It's Minecraft, but Dragon Quest. So it's,
okay.
Dragon Quest is like just your standard JRPG, mm-hmm. one of the older ones.
Oh, and was that Adventure Quest that was online a while ago?
Yep, it's the same thing. It's different. You might want to edit that out before you get lynched.
I would love that.
Fuck.
Please.
Can we put that on a t-shirt?
No, I swear to God. They had a part of it called Dragon Quest.
No, it's called Dragon Fable.
What?
Yeah, the Adventure Quest spinoff is Dragon Fable.
Then what?
Probably Adventure Quest.
What?
Or Dragon Fable. Dragon Quest is a long-running JRPG. It's like,
I'm sorry.
It's been around since the NES.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not going to edit that out. I'm going to own up to my mistakes, and I'm going to own up to that apology.
I'm ugly and I'm proud.
Devs, if you're listening,
I'm ugly and I'm proud.
Adventure Quest devs, if you're listening, please put Dragon Fable on the DS.
Fuck. Amazing. I'm stupid and I'm proud.
So it's,
I don't know shit about video games.
So it's like, it's a third person, I guess, action RPG. It's very light on the action. It's very just like hit square to do attack.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, you can kind of avoid enemy attacks, but it's more so about the entire experience. So what you kind of do is you're essentially the chosen one. You have the ability, like the humans have been ruled by monsters for the longest time. They've lost their creativity. They don't know how to create. Your magical power is that you are creative. And you have the power, you have the power to build. And
is this the fucking Lego movie?
Yes. You have the power to build. And so
is
you
this
you
a kids game?
Yeah.
No. Well, kind of.
Kind of. It's more, it's like a, yeah, it's pretty much a kid's game, but okay. it's more so anyone can play it, so they have a kiddie story, but it gets heavy at sometimes, shit, because of course it does.
So it's did The Fox and the Hound, but that's a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's like The Fox and the Hound. It's like, oh man, oh, like, ooey doy, I fell, isn't that funny? And then it's like, death, 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 death.
Still can't watch that movie.
Oh man, it's
been 18 years.
Yeah. So
anyway,
so yeah, you are the builder. That is your magical power. Yes. You go to a place and you sort of recruit the nearby humans and you show them how to be creative again.
Okay.
And you're sort of like fighting monsters, gathering materials, and sort of like building rooms for people and like continually growing your arsenal and like slowly helping to like sort of cleanse the land of like the evil pollution. And it's a lot of fun. It's like Minecraft but with direction.
Oh, and okay.
It's like you can be one, it's like, so it's like Minecraft. You can build some crazy shit, but it's just like there's something about having a goal that makes it so much. Like, I never got into Minecraft because, like, oh, I want to build something. It's like, then what? Like, I'm not the type of dude. Like, fucking lead me by the hand, you know? And so it's pretty much, it's just a pretty clean game overall. There actually is some, like the first boss fight, like, actual boss fight, it was surprisingly intense. So, like, this giant fucking golem, probably, like, 10 to 20 times this, like, the size of your adorable little model, comes to attack your city that you spent all this time building. And you have these fucking walls that you can, because you're also strong as hell, you can just kind of pick anything up. And so, like, what you do is you lay down these giant, like, walls to, like, block his boulders, mm-hmm. like, until he, like, pretty much, like, gets, like, so you're, like, simultaneously trying to fight him and protect your city. And it was hype as balls. And I'm sitting here, like, you can tell me, like, do, you know, just, like, destroying the ground of my sword and then picking shit up. And, like, ooh, I can make a sign now. I can assign this room to boys. Boys only, no girls allowed. Ha ha. And then it was just like, and then suddenly fucking Golem just coming to destroy everything I ever worked for. I'm gonna fucking break everything. I'm just trying to make a home for these happy people. They forgot how to read. I'm trying to teach them how to read and how to build shit. And this fucking Golem just comes out of nowhere and starts fucking my shit up. It's, oh man. But the interesting thing is, you sort of like complete an area. And then you move on to, like, because the world needs you, so you kind of leave your home and you kind of leave them to fend for themselves effectively. So it's like, hey guys, you know, I gotta save the rest of the world. Hopefully I taught you how to read enough so you can survive. And peace. Yeah, peace. And you go somewhere else and you kind of like forget.
Have fun reading.
You forget like a lot of things you learned how to build, so you kind of have to start over in a new land. Oh, but the cool. Second place is fucked because it's like, it's pretty much, it's like the first place, but there's just plague everywhere. So you have to like build hospitals to treat the people who are dying and teach people how to read. Oh, you gotta treat them and teach them how to read. They're like, A, B. And it's just like, come on, it's just C. It's just like, I'm dying, I don't care. And it's just like, that's not how we talk around here, buddy. Oh, man, I need to stop shouting. I have a headache as well, so we're all kind of dying here. And the more I shout, the less oxygen gets to my head. But
the more I shout, the less oxygen gets into my lungs because I have asthma.
That's true. Oh. But overall, it's like, I don't know why I love it so much, but I do. It's a great game. Everybody should buy it. I wish it was on PC.
What's it for? PS4?
PS4. It might be exclusive. I think it might be exclusive.
Okay.
But it might not be. I mean, no one has Xbox Ones anyways.
A lot of Dragon Quest games are also on the 3DS, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's on there too.
That'd if it's on the 3DS, I'd probably buy it.
It's great. If it's on 3DS, holy shit. Because it's also beautiful. It's got a very simple, like, cel-shaded art style, but it's, like, it's Toriyama's art style, the guy who does Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. And so it's, like, it's real good. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
The use of, everything's so bright, and the use of colors is amazing.
I'm sure it could translate over to 3DS pretty well, though.
Yeah, he's like, got to make it look ugly. And then
Monster Hunter Generations is a thing. And look at like, that game is prettier than, like, a good amount of PS4 games.
You're not wrong. Shit.
I feel like there are a lot of games on the 3DS that are prettier than a good amount of PS4 games.
Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Xenoblade honestly Chronicles feel like looks, Remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not thoroughly expressed how much I fucking love Xenoblade Chronicles on this goddamn podcast. And I just did. It's great!
I still have to actually play Chronicles. I've only played X.
Chronicles is very nice.
Yeah.
It's very anime. And it's really good.
I wanna, like, I could always just buy it for the 3DS, but I hear it's not that good a port.
Yeah. Having played, like, only the Wii version,
I
the way I got it was actually kind of great because we were about to go on vacation for 2 weeks, and I was just in GameStop one day, and I was like, this game looks interesting, so I bought it for $40, right? 2 weeks later, GameStop started buying them back and then, like, reselling them at $90 a piece.
Shit.
Yeah, they inflated the price of Xenoblade Chronicles a lot, and I happened to just, ooh, this game looks pretty. I'm going to keep it. And I have it.
Good shit.
But the way, like, combat works and the way, like, just the controller is mapped, I always use, like, the classic controller on the Wii.
Chronicles X has the same gameplay style.
Yeah.
At least for combat.
From what I've seen, it's like a little different.
Yeah, it's. I know it's like a little bit different. Yeah. I know some of
different
the stuff.
Different enough to matter.
Yeah.
But like not different enough to like matter from a strategy standpoint, I guess.
I'm talking just like base combat of like selecting your moves and stuff. Oh, like the audio attacks, auto attacks and all everything. If we're going into skill trees. Skill trees in X are daunting to say the least.
Skill trees in Chronicles are daunting to say the least. Because you don't have to only have to worry about friendship. Like social fucking skill trees, you gotta worry about like your social links, and the amount you can progress in a skill tree depends on how far in friendship you have progressed with someone.
Okay, in X it's a little
actually,
bit different.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say this because actually it's a spoiler.
If it's spoilers, don't tell me because I do actually plan on.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say it. It's a spoiler.
But like in X, they kind of like separated the two. So now you have like a full skill tree that just goes through like leveling up and like accomplishing goals and stuff.
Like,
and then you have like this web of just like relationships between even like NPCs.
Yeah.
Like and not even like important NPCs, like shopkeepers.
Yes.
And it's like, God. The web is like, I still don't know everyone who's on it. It's huge.
Yep. It's not as extensive in the original, but there are some things that you can and can't do. Like Shulk and Ryan. They're best fucking friends. Like at the beginning. And you start at their social link is like zero. So it's like, oh yeah, you want to do this attack with Ryan? Sorry. Your social link isn't high enough. So I think that's kind of funny. It has been a while, so some of this may be really inaccurate. It's been like maybe.
Did the original also have social links between like characters that aren't Shulk?
Yeah.
NPC 1 and NPC 2?
Not as far as I can remember.
Okay. The Chronicles.
Like NPC 1 and NPC 2, no. Like Shulk and like NPC, important NPC 1, yeah.
Okay. Because like two party members that aren't Shulk. Would have a social link. Okay, so it's kind of similar then in the web in X.
Because like, just has Sharla and Ryan have a social link.
Okay,
Sharla's not a spoiler. You meet her kind of early on in the game.
In X, I think they just like took everyone and just connected them to everyone else.
Oh my god!
it's crazy.
Appreciate that.
That's a lot of work for much payoff.
And it's so much information too. Like I still haven't completely figured out the game, and I've been playing it since December of last year.
Shit.
Like
sometimes less is more.
Yeah. Sometimes less is more, but you know.
Also the story is
more is more.
I can tell it's not as good as the original. I haven't even played the original, but like once you get like halfway through, it stops from being this like, oh hey, let's just find this thing and save our fucking race from extinction to we're actually on a legitimate timer that we can see counting down to our extinction every day of our lives.
That's fucked up.
It has the most confusing yet completely understandable plot twist I've ever seen.
In the original, it's just a battle between two giant robots that they live on.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's like my favorite, like, thing ever, living on like a giant being. That's like my favorite, just like
they go like inside it and everything.
Yeah,
it's just like, all like this like bioluminescent shit.
Yeah, just like just that plot on like the dragon turtle. It's just like, oh my god, we're all just like living on the world is just on a giant turtle's back. Like it's the fucking that's the, I don't know, I think that's like the coolest fucking thing.
I agree. So, we're about half an hour in. Mm-mm. Seems like a good time for a question. Colin asked us, which anime would you like to see receive a video game adaptation?
Ooh, that's Zankyo
no Terror.
I don't watch
as
anime.
What?
As a game?
Game?
Just a game. I'm not a game dev. I don't know how it would happen. I just want it to happen. Also, Mob Psycho 100.
Yeah. Mob Psycho is going to make a pretty good game.
What, just like, would you just like fight bullies?
I guess. I feel like One Punch Man can make a good clicker game.
I mean,
one fingered death punch.
If you talked to me like 5 years ago and said One Punch Man as a game, I would say shut the fuck up. That's stupid as hell. And then Azura's Wrath happened. And after Azura's Wrath, I don't know. How old is that game? Hopefully 5 years covers it. Whatever. Yeah, if you asked me before Azura's Wrath came out. I would, but like, holy shit. Literally, Azura's Wrath is like, this is not even a game. It's like stupid. This is like, I love it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So it literally just be that, except
2012. Like, so you're good.
There's literally no, like, it's not fighty part, then you end it with the cutscene. It's literally the entire thing is the quick time event. And it's just you, or like you just dodging attacks until you hit them. Or maybe like the gameplay could be like getting to the bad guy. It's almost like, it's like a runner almost. Like, your goal is to just get to the dude.
And then you click.
And then you hit him once.
Oh, yeah. You click once.
So it would be the journey. The gameplay would involve the journey.
Oh, like you must build a boat.
Yeah, kind of. Oh. Except you're running to the boss fight while dodging his attacks. And then once you get there, you just sock him in the mouth and then he explodes. Because that's what happens. They explode. Oh, I love One Punch Man. It's so good. What else is there?
I haven't watched many.
Cage. Oh my god. Oh, Keijo the game, please.
Please. Okay.
We already have the basis in
oh my god.
Extreme Beach Volleyball, Dead or Alive. So you just have to take that game, the butt battle game, and just like make it way more in depth. And
all right, so hear me out.
Give me a 3D fighter.
No titties.
Hear me out.
Hit no titties.
Yuri on Ice, but in the style of Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games.
Yes, please.
I really outdid myself here. That was a fucking good one.
I'm trying to pick an anime I've seen. God damn.
Literally any mecha shonen series.
Literally every shonen. They probably already have games. I think about it.
I'm trying to avoid shonen for that reason.
Yeah.
Literally any mecha series in any kind of style, Armored Core, Another Century episode, Super Robot Wars, I do not care. Mm-hmm. They all work fine.
We all have lips.
Let's not.
Yeah, we're going to stop ASMRing right now.
It's going to be fun to edit later.
Next question is from
Deanna. Stop dying.
I'm trying.
Hey.
Hey now.
I can't. Like, yeah, hey, I can't. Yeah. I think that's all I got. I even actually say one, but I developed One Punch Man, so that's nice.
Hey.
Yeah, that's all I got. Thank you, Colin, for your question.
I'm not creative.
Same.
I'm only thinking of like.
I'll think of all the best ones like 5 minutes after this podcast is over.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Let's jump right back into it.
Whoa.
Into what?
It. What's the podcast.
What's it?
We took a nice little break with that question. It was a nice little to break up our day.
Yeah. But seriously though, Africa Horse is the best. he's got these big ass feet. He's just clip clop clip clop. All over the place.
Also them sweet stats.
Yeah, he's got
130 attack and defenses that are like around 100 or over 100. Something like that.
Yeah.
Assault Vest Mudsdale is going to be incredible.
Yeah. Woo! I'm thinking he might need some form of recovery because sure it's nice that he'll be taking less from physical attacks, but I wonder if it'll be better to do just like special attack and HP investment and then just have like leftovers on him or something. I feel like recovering would make better use of his suddenly insane defense. Especially like, I feel like if ever, like, what's the ability called where you hit 5 times automatically?
Skill Link?
Yeah. If Skill Link Pokemon ever becomes like a top tier, then Mudsdale just shows up and says, hey, what's up? I'm your counter. Nice to see you. Goodbye.
I mean, I don't know how it like would actually be since I don't know its stats or its move pool quite yet, but it seems like Toucannon could be because Toucannon has Skill Link.
Oh, man. Toucannon.
Please tell me Toucannon is a large parrot.
He's a large toucan.
Thank you.
Does he have a cane?
Does he have a cane?
No.
A little top hat?
Sadly, no.
Aww.
It's just a fucking toucan.
Oh.
But he's canon, so he shoots you with the normal energy, I guess. So.
No.
It's my podcast, Pat.
It's your podcast. You know, you hit that button on the side that makes everything shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, like this one. Yup.
Has anybody else been playing anything besides Pokemon?
What have I been playing besides depression and anxiety?
Those aren't games.
It's been a really awful week.
We had the stream.
Yeah, we did have the
stream. We had the live stream.
I played Hitman for a little bit on stream. I got really uncomfortable with where I was sitting, and I stopped concentrating on the game. I also missed the opportunity to rat poison someone, so I was like, I need to do this when I have more than 45 minutes of sleep.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. That went about as well as you'd expect.
We broke Lethal League.
Oh, yeah. We did break Lethal League.
Did you get it to crash or something?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We were hitting the ball, and it got super intense, and then someone died and the game crashed.
Underground Lethal League.
Underground Lethal League.
What else did we play on the stream? Oh.
A lot.
50 turn Mario Party.
Mario Party 5.
That was a trip.
I'm so glad I wasn't there.
It took 3.5 hours.
God. Yep. And Rich still won.
Yeah.
Of course he won.
Of course he won.
I was in the lead until they handed out the bonus stars.
Oh, yeah, that's nice, Dan.
Yeah, that happens every time. Rich is
I was, the gods. I was in last.
The whole game.
For 95% of that game.
At least it wasn't 100%.
If you count turn one. Oh yeah, sorry Sydney. Oh yeah, we played 8-player quote-unquote Mario Party 5 where we switched off two people. It made it a lot more bearable.
Yeah.
Like Kennedy fell asleep.
Yeah, so it was really 7-player. I was my own team. But that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah,
we switched off. Team is only as strong as its weakest member.
Damn.
You said that on the stream too. Yeah, it made it go by a lot sooner. We did the first turn check, and I thought we were going to be like 15 turns in, but we were like 26.
Yeah.
Damn, it felt so good. And then we did another turn check, and then we were like 37. I was like, oh, we can almost do this. We're almost there.
I mean, never. That's still 3 hours. God damn.
I mean, if we're going to be there for 24 hours, we might as well dedicate time to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You just watch me play Dark Souls for 24 hours.
I'd watch it, honestly.
I will never, ever do that again. Like, unless I'm, like, literally saving someone's life. Like, if I'm, like, 24 hours, like, pumping some nigga's heart, maybe I'll do that. But, like, holy shit, that sucks. Yeah. That was the worst.
That's probably why I'm still sick.
What, probably. Yeah. I had an awful time last time.
My sleep schedule is trash regardless.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's only, like, an extra, like, 5 or 6 hours of staying awake. Like,
there was only 3 of us that actually stayed up all 24.
Yeah. It was you, Caleb, and Nugget, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else took a nap in between.
Yep.
Nap, nigga. I'll sleep 8 hours. Yeah, never again. I mean, you guys will do it. I won't go.
That's fine. I might not go next year.
Oh. This year we actually met our goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we set a realistic one. That's how that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing the new Animal Crossing update very thoroughly. Mm-hmm. Shit is nice. Let me tell you.
I really appreciated that pause right there.
Oh, my God. I love that you can choose your villagers with the NFC cards. I love that you can choose where they fucking live. You can lay out your entire town, man. Like... You can lay out your entire town.
The whole town.
The whole town.
The entirety of it.
Yeah.
So Nintendo basically patched in the thing you could hack in prior?
Yes.
That's some good shit.
You still can't like duplicate items and stuff because like,
you know, that's...
You know, you gotta play the game.
Yeah.
But like, you can cover your entire... It takes a lot of time. It took me like a couple hours, but I covered my entire town in QR codes and then like erased where I wanted the little villagers to live. I have like... 2 villagers left to move in. 3? 2? Several. But they all have nice little... I have a little villager area.
Oh,
it's cute. It's adorable. It's really nice.
That's great.
I'm working on, you know. Yeah. I'm not going to go into detail. It will probably go right over everyone's heads.
I love but Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing has become a lot less stressful.
That's good.
You know what is stressful? Dragon Quest Builders, when a golem suddenly shows up to your house and starts fucking shit up.
Hey, he's killing all the people you were trying to teach him how to read.
Yeah, some of them can fight too. I've never actually had anyone die.
Gosh. Oh, really?
I don't know what happens. Do they go away forever? Gosh.
They probably come back.
They get sent to the Shadow Realm.
Yeah.
The Shadow Realm is an invention by 4 kids. Yeah. Everyone knows. Everyone's been on the internet.
Still sounds cooler than hell.
Yeah.
I'd rather send someone to the Shadow Realm than just, like, kill them. You know? Which is what happened in the Japanese.
Yeah.
Yugi. Oh, I'm trapped in a TV. How did Pegasus even do that? I have the power of whatever the fuck I need.
Nah. You know what was actually, like, terrifying in Yu-Gi-Oh, though? Is, like, at the end of the Duelist, the Battle City arc, where Merrick beat Mai in a fight and sent her to the Shadow Realm, and she was trapped in an hourglass, like, slowly dropping sand into her half of the hourglass.
Yo, that sounds fucked.
Yep.
Wait! I remember that episode.
Yeah!
I watched that.
That episode was fucked up.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Sand. Anyway.
Could get it, because Egypt. they got a lot of sand there. He's like, I'm going to kill you with that thing we have outside.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That was definitely pretty fucked.
Yep.
Although I do like the what the fuck are they called? Yeah, Greek story of the guy who has to push the boulder. He has to push the boulder up the hill forever.
Yeah, Sisyphus.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Or rather, he's fucked. He's fucked. What an awful fate.
I love Greek literature. Maybe that's why I studied it in college. But like, damn.
It's just like the best fucking... The best fucking soap opera of all time. Just like,
yeah, it is.
Zeus,
it is.
How could you cheat on me with that human again while you were a flamingo? He's just like, you know what? I got needs, Hera. God damn it, I got needs.
Yeah.
I love the fact. Yeah, the entire basis of Greek mythology is basically Zeus not couldn't keep it in his pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that's good. It. He just whips his dick out whenever he can.
Oh, yeah, it's just like the gods are just as garbage as we are.
Yeah.
And they're our gods for
They
some
also
reason.
Lived on top of a very climbable hill, but no one bothered to check. That's my favorite tidbit.
That'd be rude. They're probably so rude. Fucking as flamingos and shit.
No, they're down with humans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the garbage Hercules thing where Atlas is like, hey, here's the world. I'll be right back. And then he leaves. And Hercules is like, whoa, I have to hold the entire world. And then he's like, hey, Atlas, hold this for me. And then he's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem, buddy. And he's like, aha, I did the same thing he did to me. He's like, wow, I never thought this would happen. It's the dumbest one. Oh, my God. It's like beyond stupid. I honestly can't even believe it's reality. Or like someone wrote that and was like, yeah, it sounds good. He outsmarted Atlas. he really pulled deep for that one.
My favorite type of podcast where we just laugh about mythology. It's so good. Ooh. Ooh, those Greeks, those ancient Greeks. Ooh. 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 All the lights just turned off outside.
So this is anime that came out recently.
Yeah.
It's called something, Strider Z? Not Strider, it's like...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It came out recently. It's like, it's this weird thing where they're just taking like people from throughout history to fight like... I guess it's, now I think about it, it's kind of similar to Fate's Day Night, or the fuck that shit's called.
Yeah, it's the one where they take, wait, is it the one with the classical composers fighting aliens?
I need that. But it's not that. It's like, Raider Z, I think is what it's called. And so what it is, it's like, there's just this random Japanese dude, I don't know who he is, maybe he's a Japanese figure I don't know about, but he meets up with like Nobunaga and other things, and then like, they're called Drifters.
Drifters?
Drifters is what it's called.
It's called Drifters?
Because they're known as Drifters, which is how I remember the title. Thinking about the plot reminded me of the title. So they're called Drifters, and like it's like you're a figure from history who's not evil, and the ones who are evil are called Ends or some shit. Doesn't matter. So pretty much it's just when you die, you get summoned to this weird world where you have to fight the Ends, pretty much, and they're helping. There's like lots of fantasy races. So pretty much you got Nobunaga with some elves fighting like Joan of Arc, and it's really strange because it's like it's like one of the ugliest anime I've seen in a while, because they do this like weird thing. It's gotten better over time. I feel like they had $0 for the first episode and it's slowly gotten better, but like they do this strange thing where they just like warp the faces of the characters, where like you'll see it from a weird angle and you get way too much face from the side. It's just ugly. It's an ugly show, but it's, and despite the fact it's also like just, it seems to be like just bad in general, it's kind of funny. And all these things together, the garbage art style, the fact it's a little bit funny, and the fact that it's referencing historical characters, makes me somewhat interested, even though like objectively I can see this kind of garbage. So if you like garbage like I do, check out Drifters.
Drifters.
Also, there's like this weird thing going on where like the guy who gets the Drifters is like fighting against this like angry Lolita lady, and I'm guessing they're effectively gods and they represent like law versus chaos type thing.
Yeah.
But the law god, he's just a white dude like in a polo, just sitting at a desk drinking coffee and reading the newspaper. Like, that is their interpretation of law. It's just like just a white dude in an office, and then she's just like crazy Lolita, probably has a scythe, wearing like your standard gothic dress. Lawyer? Yeah, he looks like a lawyer. Just like any white dude. Just like,
yeah.
Like I'm white, and I, you know, sometimes I have a sweater slung over my, and I just hold the sweater over. Yeah,
he drinks coffee. His yacht on the weekends.
Yeah, he's got some coffee. He reads the newspaper, and that's just him. That's just like, I don't know what it is. It's
normal basic.
Yeah, he's normal basic. That is their interpretation of law. Anyways.
Yeah.
This season is really good for anime. Like, this entire season so far, it's got so many good shows. I need to watch more of them.
I don't know any of them.
All I've seen need to finish season one of Iron Blooded Orphans so I can watch season two, because apparently it's much better.
What's that anime about the magical girl in World War II? That's something that came out recently.
I don't know.
She does this great thing where she rides a sniper rifle. So it's like the sniper rifle is her broomstick, effectively. And she's like the only person who can cast magic in World War II. She's fighting like biplanes, and she's just like sniping them. And like she has this one part. She has a whole bunch of like lances. And so she's flying around. There's like a tail of lances behind her, like 50 lances. She's like shoving them into planes and shit. It's pretty cool. The writing,
I'll take your word for it.
The writing's garbage because it's anime, and like we get like one well-written anime about a year, maybe.
Your Ice.
Yeah, so all the anime's writing budget went to Your Hand Ice, apparently. And so it's your standard like, why? So like that happened literally so the plot could advance? All right. You know, your standard stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the animation's real nice, and I haven't seen good animation in a little while, so...
Yo, you want to talk about good animation? Again, you're nice.
Oh, my God.
Probably the most well-animated show I've seen in the past couple years for anime.
Yeah.
Like, it's gorgeous.
I really need to catch up. I've only watched up till season... Till episode 2.
I'm on episode 4. I'm gonna
catch up. But I know what happens in episode 7. It's real great.
I don't know.
I've been spoiled.
I haven't. I was almost spoiled, but then Kennedy told me to leave the room.
Yeah.
They're skating, and then he cuts the dude's throat with his skate, and he bleeds all over the ice. It's like... All right.
Totally. Yep,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, Drifters is also extremely violent, so if you don't like violence, then don't watch it.
If I'm going to watch an anime about historical figures, it better be about them fucking beating each other up.
Yeah. They got a whole bunch of dudes I don't know. Like, I thought one of them was, like, for sure the Red Baron. And then it was just some like Japanese pilot I never heard of, and I'm like, oh, I immediately like don't care about you because I don't know who you are.
So what are some of the?
There's Scipio and Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Yeah, Hannibal and Scipio. They're just old as fuck, and they argue the whole time. It's pretty great. The show is surprisingly funny. It's like I didn't expect it because like if you watch the first episode, God, like if you can somehow watch the first episode and not want to stop watching. You know, good. Like you have the patience of say. First episode's garbage.
I tend to force myself to watch up to at least episode 3.
Yeah,
that's how I dropped Gangsta.
Oh man.
Which one's Gangsta?
Gangsta's a really good manga. Like it's a very actiony, like okay-ish manga that has a very diverse cast.
But the anime is shit.
The anime is hot garbage.
It's gross. Like, man. I'm almost like embarrassed to say that I like the manga because of how bad the anime is.
Interesting. The opening is stylish as shit. Yeah. Like, I love the anime's opening. I think it's one of the best opening sequences I've seen.
Yeah.
But, like, that's it.
Yeah. I honestly, I love the cast.
Yeah.
I love how diverse it is.
I think I would like the cast if I had read the manga and not watched the anime.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems like the anime just kind of leaves out a lot of information.
Yeah.
Considering episode 2 about felt like whom? Episode 12.
About whom?
Everyone.
Everyone?
Everyone. Like... Episode 1 was just a general, like, exposition of, like, the two main dudes. And, like, it wasn't much.
There's a lot more behind them.
Like, the episode was them literally just, like, being sassy for, like, 5 minutes, saving the prostitute, the end. Like, that was the whole episode 1.
Yep.
And then episode 2, they revealed, like, all the secret powers of, like, the dude with the sword.
Oh, wait, nope, that's how the manga goes, too. But they explain a little bit more.
Okay. In the show, they're literally like, oh, he is this guy. And like, that's it. They don't explain any of the details. They just say his title and like treat it as if you already knew what it was and then just move on.
Because the manga does that for like a little while. It took a while. I think it's like till issue 30. Not issue 30, but like the
chapter?
Chapter 30. That's the word.
Chapter 30 chapter is like 30. Nothing.
Yeah.
Chapters are like 10 pages long each, so
it takes until about chapter 30 for you to like get a bearing.
Yeah. No, but like, were they at least hinting at what it could be prior?
Yeah.
Okay, the show didn't do that at all.
Oh, okay.
Like,
they introduce him, they introduce his powers, then they introduce someone else.
They didn't even introduce his powers.
Wait, fuck,
they just
really?
Gave his title, showed him like doing something with a sword, but nothing like particularly impressive, and then just like, yeah, that's it. And then they just look next.
Oh, okay.
It was so...
Because they introduced, like, a counter to his powers. And, like, why... his are legit and the other person's aren't. Okay.
None of that happened.
Wow.
None of that happened in the show. So they were just leaving out, like, a fuck ton of information. Yeah. That's good to know.
Maybe I should, like, watch it and see if it's the same.
Watch like, the first 3 episodes.
Okay.
Because that's when I dropped it.
Okay.
Because, like, by episode 3, literally nothing had happened, and it's supposed to be 12 episodes long.
Fuck. Damn.
That's when I give up.
I'll probably end up watching the entire thing, because I'm a fan of trash. Yeah. Is anyone have anything to say? Perfect segue.
I'm playing more Dark Souls.
Really?
Still haven't made my way through the DLC, because it's an endgame DLC, and my computer... broke between me beating Dark Souls 3 and the DLC coming out. So I didn't have any characters at the late game. So I pretty much just had to run through the whole game. And I'm enjoying it more than I did my first time through. Like I said, earlier this year I was burnt out on Souls games because I've been playing them since 2011, just like literally perpetually. So, but I finally took a break, played other games, realized that every other game is bad. And so you gain an appreciation for all the little Soulsian things when it's not standard. You play other games, it's just like, oh, that doesn't make sense. In a Souls game, they probably would have made sure to see that detail. Like, for example, if there were, like hard systems like say From Software made Xenoblade, they probably would have had it so that your friendship meter with Shulk's friend, that would have started high. Like,
yeah.
Just small stuff like that. Like, they always make sure to, like, that the story and the gameplay mesh. Like, that is, like, the biggest thing. Like, it all makes sense. They have some thematic cohesion up that butthole. Which is why I love their game so much. And that's, that's always what interests me in games. It's, like, that ability to tell a story and have it, like, fuse with the gameplay.
I haven't played a lot of From Software's games. Like, I've played Dark Souls. I haven't finished it, but I've played it.
Yeah.
And I've gone through Bloodborne, and I've played Armored Core 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And they're just their game design in general is it tends to be pretty fucking flawless.
Yeah. They're just like smart as hell, and it's just like
Like, even in Armored Core 3, like, back when they were more or less still just trying to get out there.
Yeah, just get their foot in the war.
The storytelling in Armored Core 3, it's, like, super minimalistic, but they're the tiny little details that just make it so good. Like, you have the main story mode, and you have this arena mode, and the main story mode is, you know, exactly what you'd expect. You build your mech, you fight enemies, et cetera, et cetera. There are bosses, characters that you fight as well. And in the arena mode, you just run through a tournament. And in this tournament are the characters you encounter in story mode. But if you kill them in arena mode, they don't appear in story mode.
Cool.
It's just like...
It's literally
just the tiniest... Like, who would even think to do that? They did. And it made that game magical for so many other people. And that shit just blows my mind. And that's what intrigues me. You know, that's the type of stuff I want to do. And they're currently the leaders in being smart as fuck.
Yeah.
Because every the game is like, oh, you did some cool shit. It's like, why? Because it was dope. It's like, there is definitely a bit of that. For example, there's a gut sword. Yeah, no, it's like, yeah. It's like literally, it's like, oh, this is just like, it's just a giant sword. How does he swing it? It's like, fuck if I know. He's undead.
Yeah.
Undead are just better than people. It's like, all right.
Okay.
But like, they have the dumb shit. Combined, like, there's a whole lot of dumb shit in Souls games.
Yeah.
Like your strange hats shit. And like the fact that like
Cage.
Yeah, the Nicolas Cage.
I love the cage.
and the fact that like all the emotes in Dark Souls 2 are like wrestling things. Like you legit like have hulking up as an animation. Like there's a lot of dumb stuff, but like
I love wearing a laundry basket on my head and pretending it's the Menses Cage.
Cause awesome, say cosm. Do you hear our prayers? man, I just brilliance.
Yep.
Mwah. Mwah. Smart dudes. I can't wait to see what the next thing they do. Because I would have loved, like, I just love good game design. I don't care about Dark Souls 2 or Dark Souls 3. I just want to see them just do more stuff. Like, I would have loved instead of getting Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3, I just got Bloodborne, and then I got whatever else they want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Instead, like, because Bloodborne is, like, okay, it's similar to Souls, but it's different enough. It was more so, like, if we were going to take Souls and put it in a new environment, that environment came with so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And like that inherently, that's what changed the gameplay. It wasn't like, we want to do something different. It was like, we want to do it in this setting. Like this setting leads to this sort of feel. Like they wanted to invoke this emotion, which changed the gameplay, the story, the narrative, like the everything. And that's why I want them to just like, okay, now what do you want to do? I just wanted to go somewhere else. I was like, take me there. Fucking bring me there from software. Take me to that place. Just do whatever the fuck you want. You guys are smart.
Up next, they want to work on another mech game. Yeah. They haven't said if it's Armored Core or not, but I'm excited for that.
And if it's not Armored Core, it could be like, it'll be inspired. Core, yeah,
it'll be like a spiritual successor. But it's going to be a new IP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a severe lack of mech games. Especially recently.
Yeah, it's like giant robots. Yeah, like, man.
What else fits games more perfectly for like action than a giant fucking robot? Right? Just blowing shit up.
I agree. All right. We are nearing the end of our podcast here. It's been about an hour.
All right.
We already did our question. We're really good at this. Remember it when I said I wasn't gonna talk a lot this podcast and I end up leading a discussion or two. That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Announcements? Do we have an announcement? I have an announcement. We will be starting our Shadowrun series, our actual play series, within the next 3 weeks. I've been saying that for like several weeks now. Right. But we are planning to record it soon, and we will be publishing it shortly thereafter. So if you would like to see that, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or you can follow me. I'll probably be tweeting about it. And we'll also post it on our YouTube and on our website, in addition to everywhere else I mentioned. Anything else?
I'm currently working on my second draft of my samurai homebrew class.
Okay.
I'm sort of making it more inspired by the monk, because like so I had like small references, but like I'm gonna be real. In the first draft, I was like, man, making a class is a lot of work. And so I'm like, I'm reaching my deadline, and I'm like, yo. And like the last, like just specifically for those who don't know what I'm talking about, the archetypes, they're just like, I literally just like stole abilities from other classes and just like, I was like, good, it fits. This one's more like a warrior, this one's more like a rogue, it's cool. But now I'm sort of like going more in depth and fleshing everything out and like adding key points to sort of what they do, because effectively, like samurai pretty much are monk. They're monk warriors, monk dudes who use swords. They have a very similar like mentality to that of a monk. So I thought it would be appropriate to sort of give them the key points and give them lots of similar systems to the monk, but still sort of have them carve their own path as like the high DPS kind of squishy, more like the glass cannon-y type of character. If you're curious as to my other homebrews, you can follow me at on Twitter at TLC Stage Hazard.
And wait, do you put the tag in front of it?
Yes, I did.
That's so cool.
I'm honored. I don't post too much. I kind of share some insight on video games and, you know, just basic stuff like that. Nothing too insightful. I retweet shit posts, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody does that. You can't talk about your quality shit posts. My shit posts are about as good as everybody's shit posts.
Right? Yeah, pretty much. Like shit posts. Not all shit posts are created equal, but
yes.
But like a vast majority are created equal.
Yeah. And it's like, chances are, if you're following someone who's worth a damn, they know how to wade through the shit shitposts and the quality shitposts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One would assume. Yeah. Any other announcements?
Now that I'm not busy with schoolwork, I can actually start writing things again.
Yay!
So I'm going to be working on some articles. I want to work on something on villains in video games.
Okay. Pat?
No.
All right.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast, Pat. Welcome.
Welcome.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.